Hey, everyone. So glad you could make it. Welcome to the Why Do podcast.
Welcome, welcome.
My name is Ben, and this is my co-host.
Hello, my name is Ram. Welcome to the podcast.
Ram, what the hell are we doing here? Why would we call a podcast Why Do, and what the hell are people going to learn about? Hear about?
Well, we are doing a podcast about why do people do anything creative? Why do people do anything? But specifically, why do people do creative things? And in this
Why do anything at all?
Yeah, why do anything? But in this podcast, we talk, you know, we get into like what's inside our minds as creatives and just, you know, talk about life also.
And I think that we have got a real good lineup of guests coming up for you in this first season of the Why Do podcast. Mm-hmm. We get to talk to some people who are, I think by all metrics, doing it. Mm-hmm. And so we get to find out why, and we get to find out what makes them tick and what's on their minds. This first episode you're going to hear is just Ram and I. So for the first episode, we just wanted to...
A little introduction.
Like, what can you expect when you put Ram and Ben
in your ear holes
and let them just talk at one another into your brain for an entire hour? Are you going to learn anything? You could.
Maybe.
Are you going to laugh? You're definitely going to laugh.
Definitely.
We are objectively hilarious people. You're going to love it. If you want to use any of our jokes, there'll be a contact form. You can reach out and we can come up with a rate that I think makes sense. But ultimately, thanks for coming by. Thanks for hanging out with us. Here's our first conversation that we had. And every episode from here on out, we're going to be having conversations with some other pretty interesting, creative, artistic people. And we hope you enjoy it. Also, quick shout out. All right. The music that you're about to hear is made by our good friend of the pod, Chris Bush, a.k.a. Computer Nerd, no E in computer, on, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
All the socials.
Made us, I think, is just like, I mean, you'll hear it for yourself.
You're hearing it right now. Doesn't it sound
You're hearing
good?
It right it now. It's going to be the smash hit of the summer. It's going to be playing on every cassette deck. Strap in. Here's our first chat. And welcome to the Why Do podcast.
Why Do podcast.
Let's find out what happens.
Why do we do? Why do they do? This is why do.
I like that people right now are able to literally hear us figuring out what this podcast is going to be.
I mean, podcasts, you know, we both of us, I guess, are at a rock bottom since we started the podcast. Like, guys, what does the world need? We need another podcast.
Yeah, we need another two guys talking on a podcast on a weekly basis. about only their interests and what they're into.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I just wanted to talk to people about all the things that we experience as, I don't even want to call ourselves creatives. What are we, like, designers?
Yeah.
Creatives.
Is it weird that it's like, I don't mind creatives, but something about creators.
Creators.
Gets under my skin.
You don't like the word creator.
Because I think like just mentally, I immediately associate it with like content creator.
Content creator.
That makes my skin crawl a lot. I don't like those words.
I'm the opposite. I feel like it's a freeing for me. It's like, I don't want to be just a graphic designer.
You want to be a content creator.
I want to.
And that's why we don't get along.
Yeah, this is why we started the podcast.
This is a debate podcast.
This is a debate podcast.
This is the Twitter of podcasts.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's going to be fucks. But yeah, I wanted to ask you, I feel like this first episode is going to be us, but we have a few.
We got some bangers lined up.
We got some bangers lined up. We got some cool people. We're gonna see. This is gonna be like, I don't know how many episodes it is, but there's gonna be a start and beginning just to see if it works, you know. And if it is, then we'll keep doing it.
We're gonna see what's there. We might have these guests on and we offend them so badly that they report us to some sort of law enforcement agency, and they just shut this whole operation down.
Yeah, it might, but it's gonna be fun. But today, this is the first episode. It's just gonna be us talking.
It's just us. And, I mean, we're not.
I mean, most of the people listening are our audience, probably.
Yeah,
like people who follow us on Instagram.
And I think every other episode is gonna be about these other people. But at the end of the day, you and I are selfish. We just want to talk about us.
Honestly, yes. Because I was like, this is the inception of the podcast. I'm like, I just want to talk shit. Well, yeah. Not shit, but just I want this to be therapy. Creative therapy. Maybe that's the name of the podcast.
Let's just call it
creative therapy.
Yeah. Ram's like, problems.
My problems. One of my problems is... what is our problems? Well, money. Probably the biggest thing is money, guys.
Okay, survive. So right off the top of the pod, everybody send Ram some money. This is
give me
about
at
making
Overset
Ram some
text
money. Let's get
on Venmo.
Cash. Yeah.
Go on OversetText.com and buy
just
print.
Send him some. Yeah. This man is just barely scraping by.
Yeah, basically. Guys, the economy's bad. I can't survive. But
you guys can't see the video of this version right now, but I can see where he's speaking to us from. And let me tell you, the giant golden throne that he's at the top of right now in this
palatial
beach estate is impressive. It's very impressive.
But yeah, freelance. Do you have any invoices paid recently or what?
Like have I had some clients pay some invoices?
Yeah, you know, anything.
Yeah, it's like a thing that happens in my life.
I feel like that's rarely happening.
Yeah,
I have some unpaid invoices that's never been paid.
Oh my god! Do you have like a bunch that are like just outstanding that where you've just like given up on people paying you?
There's a few actually. The one that comes to mind is I had a client ask me. They paid the deposit. So here's one of the tips. Always work with a deposit.
I mean, oh man, yeah, you learned that one early on.
Yeah,
oh boy,
it's kind of hard.
I also learned that one through experience of not having a deposit and then seeing what happens in those cases.
Oh,
and it's not the best.
Yeah, you need that. But yeah, I had one pay the deposit. It was like a cover art, and I think I even charged them a rush fee. I think, and then I sent them the file.
They're probably like, oh, I'll pay. But like, they're not planning on paying anything. Then they're like, yeah, let's add the rush fee on there. Let's get it covered in gold. Let's get nine revisions.
They wanted it next week. So like, all right, I got you. And then they paid the deposit really fast. So I was like, okay, good. So they're serious. So I made it. And then they never replied to me. So I was like, okay, well, I'm keeping the deposit. Yeah, I'm not giving that back to you. And they never hit me up. I mean, I sent them the final invoice for the final. Yeah. And of course, the file I sent them had a watermark. It had a watermark, so they couldn't even use it. So, I mean, that's a win for me. I got the deposit, but they never...
So they never even used the work. I mean,
they never used the work.
It sucks they didn't pay you, but like at least they weren't out there using it. But
yeah,
scummy behavior.
Yeah, I mean, they paid the deposit. So I was like, all right, I mean, I'm not that mad, but also like, why did you pay that when you didn't even want the final product? So I was like,
these people
still in my invoices.
Like they are bad at business.
Yeah, I mean, they were music industry people. If there's any music industry people listening, you guys suck. I don't
we're just gonna be like finding new names for the podcast throughout because we haven't named it yet. So now it's gonna be the
musicians
throw entire industries under the bus podcast.
No, but like they are the worst. I mean, I don't know how many of you worked with, but I'm very selective. I've had great clients.
Name them.
My great clients, only my great clients, they're great. Specifically Jesse Balin. I love you, she's great. But everybody else, I'm very selective with who I work with the music industry because like they always screw you over. There's always these weird contracts. And I've heard other people complain about like unpaid invoices, but it's just really... And they don't even credit you, you know?
Now that I think about it, when I referenced the fact that I learned that you should always collect a deposit the hard way, that was because of a music client.
Mm-hmm.
And they just wanted like revision after revision after revision. And then I was like, cool. And I was like, you know, I mean, this was pretty early days for me, but I was still up front being like, we can do all these extra revisions, but you know, it's more work, so it's going to cost more. And they're like, yeah, 100%. You know, we're in the music industry and we want to make sure artists get paid. So like, it's important that you get paid too. And I'm like, cool. You guys sound like you get it. And I should say too, like originally, I believe this was about a $300 project. Like like a $350, it was like nothing. Like it was like really, this was very early days for me. It was something I was doing because it was like kind of fun, whatever. It was like a 50 or 60 email thread.
This
snowballed and snowballed. And, you know, like always reminding like, hey, yes, we can do more, but it's going to like cost more, whatever. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
And so I think the original fee was like $350. I sent them the invoice for $500.
Mm-hmm. That's reasonable.
And he's like, I absolutely not will not be paying this.
What? Dude, that's... Yeah, for some reason, we don't get respected. Like, I feel like visual artists, like anyone with a visual medium... we get taken like seriously. Like everybody else is like, yeah, we're good. I mean, you can even see that with AI. Like they have not come for the musicians, but they've already come for us.
Yep.
Like they're like, all right, we're replacing visual artists because they don't care about copyright. They,
I mean, that's why we're doing this podcast, just to document the downfall of like the art industry as a whole at the hands of AI.
We're in the early days
right now, and we're like, you know, everything's like maybe fine, and we're still alive. 2 months into this podcast, it's gonna be pretty dark.
Maybe the podcast called "Art Is Over." Visual art is over. Art is dead.
Just call it the art end is of the dead. World.
Yeah, podcast. whatever the listener, you're probably seeing the cover art and title right now. And you're probably like, oh,
you're like, how did they get to that?
Yeah, how did they get to that? So
why didn't they just go with Rams Problems?
Rams Problems. That's a separate podcast. I might just make that my solo podcast where I just talk
by
myself.
That sounds good. I'll listen to it. I think
my Twitch streams mostly. When I stream on twitch.tv/oversettext, I just complain. Oh, wow.
So far we've got your Venmo, we've got your Twitch. Is there anything else?
My TikTok.
TikTok, Instagram. Are you playing any shows soon?
Dude, honestly, I've been thinking about this idea of designing live on a stage. Oh my god.
What's the link for that?
Not yet.
We'll edit it in later.
You can buy tickets on Ticketmaster soon, and people will be price gouging that for sure.
100%.
The tickets will go to $1,000.
Oh, those vultures.
But, yeah, you're on TikTok. I think like a lot of people who are probably listening, you're probably like a aspiring artist, aspiring designer, and you're seeing the social media landscape, and you don't know where to start. But I want to ask you, Ben, how did you get your start on Instagram? Like, when did you even start posting?
I mean, yeah, on Instagram specifically. I mean, I don't think we've even like really, you know, let's maybe talk as though like people tuning in don't know either of us, or only know one or the other of us. And that's why they're tuning in. And we talk a bit about like who we are and what we do anyways.
That's true. We'll edit this to the beginning.
I feel like I was literally talking to you yesterday about how like I hate the idea of someone just being like, hey, who are you and what do you do? And like now I'm here being like, why don't we just sit here and give a spiel about who we are,
who we are, what we do.
But the Coles Notes is just that I'm a freelance graphic designer. I run a company called Boring Friends, which is, you know, myself as a freelance artist, as well as like an online store where I sell like apparel and prints and all sorts of other stuff. I've kind of been in the graphic design game in like one way or another for the last 15 years or so, you know, on and off. But in the last, I would say 3, 4, 5 years, it's been more serious for me, especially the last couple of years. Things have kind of blown up a little bit. I've only been doing the freelance thing for about 3 years now. I was in the tech industry for approximately 6,000 years previous to that. So a lot of it for me over the last few years has just sort of been figuring things out and flying by the seat of my pants a little bit and just sort of building stuff as I go. And I think through a lot of that, you know, I looked to a lot of other podcasts or listening to a lot of people who were like in similar spaces, who were able to give insights for this type of work. So I figured, why not give our own spin on this as well and be able to talk to people that we think are interesting and that people starting out or people in the industry or whatever would find helpful or insightful or entertaining, yeah, or just want to hear you and I make fart jokes and complain.
Yeah. Complain. That's what I love doing.
You'll complain. I'll be the therapist and you'll just be on the laying on the couch telling me about all the life problems.
Yeah. I mean, my problem is I need people to go in the store, but I guess my name is
Venmo.com/Ram.
I started this Instagram thing with my 365. I feel like most people followed me during that time. And now
made a poster
every day. Poster every day for a whole year. And
a year, that's how many days is that?
365.
It's still 365.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
I didn't start on a leap year. And even then, I didn't start on.
It wasn't a short year. It wasn't one of those first, like 60 day years that people are doing.
But yeah, I did that. And I kind of started out on a whim because I was unemployed. Had nothing to do. I mean, that was like, it was like 2021 around. I mean, I was working as a newspaper designer, but then I quit that job because I did not like how they handled COVID. I was still going in to the office for reason.
Like a designer at a newspaper, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was I designed the paper. I ran their social media.
Oh, wow. How big of a publication was this?
It's a small local paper. It was like a local business paper in my town of Fresno, California, where I still reside. Then I quit that job, kind of just, you know, in my parents' house, not doing shit, very depressed. And then I started the 365 because I was at rock bottom. I had nothing else going for me. So it's like, then I did it. I was literally like, well, I just want to get better at design. That was like the only expectation I had was like, I just want to get better at design. Mm-hmm. Also, my therapist was like, you need a project because your life is going nowhere.
And it was me. I'm your therapist.
Yeah, it was actually Ben.
We got to get you on this graphic design stuff. It's going to work wonders for your life.
It did. And then I just kind of like, oh, okay, let's do it. And then it blew up. Somehow it succeeded against all odds, and I was like, then I started getting clients and I started making, you know, prints and then Twitch, and then now I'm starting to make YouTube videos and this podcast. So now I've you know, where it's like you're so far away from a regular job. Like my last job was like at the end of 2020 or 2021.
I mean, you literally worked for a newspaper. So in terms of regular jobs or like old school jobs.
Yeah, I was like out there laying out the paper, and that's how actually I came up with the name Overset Text. Is that's a InDesign error.
Oh, really? It wasn't like, it's like an error message on the fax machine that you have to send work in at the end of the day.
Dude, okay. It was actually that bad because like, it was so old school that we, at one point when I first started working, was like punch cards, like had to punch it in with paper. It was hell. But
have you had other jobs where you've had punch cards? I had punch cards at a couple of my younger days jobs, but that was in the 40s. So
I mean, yeah,
the peak of technology.
Even at my like dishwashing job, when my first job, I didn't have to do that. So I was like, it was weird. But yeah, I did that. But I was saying like, I'm so far away. Like the gap in my resume is so huge at this point that this is my only option, guys. My only option is to be an internet guy.
If this fails, if your content creation days fall flat.
There is no plan B, guys. This is plan A. There is no other plan.
What would, AI takes over in the next 2 weeks, which it will, and we're all doomed. Like if you had absolutely no choice, like what's your next plan? What would it be? If you couldn't do anything having to do with graphic design,
what would I do?
How would you get by?
Dude, I would honestly be fine with like doing a boring job, like a, I don't know, like
working at Boring shelves. Friends.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm actually working at your job.
I have a, there's a shelf. There's one shelf.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down to just kind of do whatever.
It's like, very messy. Again, like we could use someone getting in there and giving the shirts a fold and put the hats away.
Honestly, I might just retire to a monastery or something. I'm like, okay. I'm disappearing into the mountains of India. And
I mean,
bye-bye. No more of this nonsense.
Yeah.
That might be my plan. If everything fails, if the world collapses because of AI, then I'm going there.
Yeah, it's no nice computer. To have a backup.
Then I just reside there forever until somebody climbs the mountain like, Ram, we need you back into the graphic design world.
Yeah, someone need you back in. Oh my God. It'll be, yeah, I'm going to watch that movie for sure.
I'm where, like, yeah. Do you guys need me back there?
Yeah, I don't know. To save the world, they need the guy that made the paper straws poster, and they're like, where is he? And they're like, he's gone, man. He's in the mountains. And like Harrison Ford travels by helicopter to the mountains of Nepal to find where you've been seeking refuge for the last 20 years.
That poster, the paper straw one, that's like what gave me like the confidence, like, oh, this could work. Like that was like the first viral post I did.
That was a big one. I remember that one.
What was your first viral hit?
Viral.
Like with your post, I guess like the poster that gave you the most followers, because I feel like we always had, everyone has one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because it's like, I mean, the algorithm stuff is like changing all the time. It's hard to be like, you know, something that got whatever number of likes today would be the equivalent of what it was like a year ago.
Inflation.
Like,
who knows? Likes inflation.
Yeah, with inflation. the exchange rate as well, because I'm all in Canada, so it's like, it's, you know, it's only like 75 cents on the like dollar.
That's funny.
Yeah, I don't know, like my biggest like drawing that ever went viral was, I don't think I ever had any of my art pieces go like crazy viral. Like how many people saw like, say, your paper straws one?
I don't know, like 100,000, maybe 500,000. I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that was pretty wild. Honestly, that's how it got me addicted. Like in terms of like likes addiction,
got its hooks in you.
My phone was like blowing up. I had to turn off the notifications. I was like, guys, I have a problem. I have like likes addiction. Yeah. Like
you
I
took
have,
like, that stuff addiction. Like directly into your veins.
Oh yeah.
And then needed your next fix.
Well, no, for sure. Like I think you have to be a certain amount of addicted to be a creator online, or like posting shit online. You have to be a little bit brain poisoned.
You have to be a little nuts. Yeah, and like I try to keep, you know, like a healthy disconnect.
Oh yeah,
from
of
it.
Course.
But yeah, the first one for me, I definitely remember the first like reel that I made that went kind of crazy. That was like almost a couple years ago now, when reels were like pretty young, I guess, at that point.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, this time 2 years ago, like I never made any like,
video content,
no video content for sure. Like zero video content. And like also almost no content about like that had me in any way. Right. Like it was always just, like I made art. And so I posted the art speaks for itself, whatever.
Yeah.
And so this is before I had been making things a little bit more personal and a little bit more about like my journey, or like who the person is behind the scenes making the art or whatever. But then I started doing reels, and obviously that has my face on it and whatever. And then, yeah, I made this one post like a couple summers ago where like, I think at that time everyone was making these reels where the whole point of the reel was to tell you like the secret of making really good reels.
Oh yeah.
Which just became this like loop of, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It just seemed like the most insane concept to me. Because all of the social media stuff is,
it's crazy.
Chaos and bad for us. But I decided to like make one on my own where it was like, it was a similar thing. And people were doing this trick too, where like the clip is really long. So it's just like, here's how to get like 100 million views on your reel. But then the whole, all of the tips and tricks are in the caption. So people have to read this big, big, long caption so that the video like play over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, I'm going to try using that trick. But then all these like tips and tricks that I'm going to put in the caption are going to be sort of like this anti, like, you know, sort of fuck social media, make art and show it to your friends. And like, I think I would have to pull it up to see exactly what I wrote, but I was like, you know, forget about this thing, print out your art and put it on your walls and make spaghetti and have your friends over and have them look at the art or something. And then this, like this anti social media, post that I made ended up being like by far the most popular thing on social media I've ever posted in my life. Cause it got like, I think it's probably sitting close to like 5 million views at this point or something, which is absolutely insane.
And you made that like for like, that was just for fun. Like you, I feel like everyone tries to think that like, oh, what is the secret to like, like that one reel was saying, but like, in my experience as well, it's like you just have to make stuff that you like and enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think like I always get so weirded out by, you know, specific, say like YouTube channels or TikTok accounts or Instagram accounts or whatever, where it's like this account is really successful at making videos that tell people how to be successful on their accounts. And it's just like, okay, but like, what do you like? What do you like do? And they're like, I just,
that's all they do.
I get people really good at Instagram. And then like what they're supposed to, those same people are going to make their own Instagram. That's just about being really
good at Instagram. Yeah. It's kind of like a Ouroboros of like, it's just a snake eating itself. Like how is this happening?
Yeah. But they're kind of everywhere. And that's like a huge industry too. And I think like I've watched a bunch of those like videos on like here's what the algorithm wants in February 2023 or like whatever. And then like it's this guy's just gonna like riff on some absolute bullshit for like 30 minutes on YouTube being like it has to be under this number of seconds and it always has to have this type of hook and you always like make sure you tell people to smash the subscribe button or like whatever. Like, you know, maybe some of those tips do some really of them work. Like, maybe some of them are like good guidelines or whatever.
But that can't be the only thing that you do. Like, at the heart of it, you need to make stuff that's like good and that you enjoy. Because then, if you just depend on that, you just kind of burn out. And like,
I think a lot of the people that they're like communicating that kind of message to as well is like, not necessarily people who are on these platforms because say they're like making art or they're like promoting a specific
thing. Yeah, they just want to get big.
Some people, they just want to like have a bunch of people see their stuff on Instagram. Yeah, so like for me, I don't really need someone to be like, here are some ideas for what you can make for a post or whatever. Like, here are things that work or whatever. Cause like for me, I like the only reason I'm even making like reels or TikToks or whatever to begin with is to like talk about the like art stuff and like spread that kind of message. So I already know what these things are going to be about loosely. Whereas like, if you just have this like personal TikTok or personal Instagram, I guess you're kind of at this point of like, okay, well, what the hell am I supposed to post? I'm just going to post what other people are posting or what's working for other people. And I'm just going to go with that. And that's going to be what this account is about.
Yeah. There's no identity. There's no, you know, where's you? Where's the you in there? I think you just have to. This is why a lot of those accounts. The only answer that I would give, because I get this all the time, I'm like, how do I grow on Instagram? Like, how do I do? Like, the answer is really boring. Like everything in life, the answer is usually just make work. Like make
just do a bunch of stuff
and then post it. You have to post it and then see what works. Because it's kind of like, you know, when you like, how do you get healthy? I don't know. Work out, eat better. Yeah. Go on a walk once in a while.
Except those are like actual provable things that work to get healthy. Whereas with like with social media, these are not provable rules that the only provable one
is that you have to make stuff. Like yeah. if you don't make anything, you will never. I feel like a lot of people get stuck at the, oh, like if I here's my plan, then I'll do this, and then like I don't know. Like I think the only thing that really works is you make it, and then you go from there. You know, like you figure it out.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's also almost brings us to the sort of next dilemma as well. Is that like there are plenty of people who don't want to do any of the social media stuff, which is very like understandable.
Reels. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I
because
get it.
You know, at the heart of it, like I'm doing this stuff because I like making art. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Reels and like TikTok or whatever are a means of, you know, promoting the stuff that
it's
I make
and
like
getting more people.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, like I feel like if I have to be in that space anyways, where I'm making all this like video content, I can at least make an effort to make it like helpful for people mm-hmm. or engaging or funny or new or whatever, rather than just like contributing to the rest of the noise. So if I have to be a part of this game reluctantly on social media in order to promote my art, then I might as well like, you know, sort of have some fun with it.
Honestly, I found that if you are an artist, you don't have to play the social media game. Honestly, I feel like, and I don't know if this is true, but I feel like smaller accounts who are really good, I feel like there's like a different vibe to them. Like they're more underground, like, you know, cause like, I feel like both of us have like over 100,000. I mean, I don't even know where you're at, but like we are like
900,000.
Oh shit. My bad.
700 million.
1 million. Oh, he's almost reaching a million, but like,
yeah,
I feel like a lot of people think we're sellouts. Like we're sellouts. We sold out to Reels. We are doing the Reels.
Well, I mean, that's the thing too, is that, and I understand that because most of my posts these days are like, you know, everybody use my discount code to get yourself a new Rolex. This is the one they sent me. It's beautiful. It matches my Ferrari. And
yeah, but we do that thing. Cause like, I mean, I don't know, like, to me now at this point, like it's not even cringy to me because like I know this is where most of my income comes from. Mm-hmm. So it's like at this point, it used to be cringy, but I got used to it because like it's kind of like with any job. There's like a part of every job of you'll ever do, there's always a part that you don't want to do. Like, but that's just work, you know. This is work. We have to treat it like work.
I mean, even on podcasts or whatever, like it's not, you know, no one sees it as being like weird work or gauche for podcasts to have like ads in them. It's just expected, right? It's like, that's how you keep the lights on and like keep these things funded. By the way, we are open for sponsorships.
Yeah. Any sponsors out there.
If, you know, Athletic Greens wants to get at us or, MeUndies.
MeUndies. I would love the MeUndies plug.
Have you tried MeUndies? I've never tried MeUndies.
No, but I just want to,
oh man, they're going to be all over this.
I just love reading ads. Okay guys, I love honestly my toxic trait is advertising works on me. Like I am so susceptible to that. Like I
what
saw
is the stupidest shit you've been tricked into buying recently?
I mean, I always fall for the fucking the celebrity meals. Like I
don't know what that is
for McDonald's. I've tried the Travis.
I still don't know. I know a McDonald's. Wait, maybe this
over there.
I don't think we get celebrity meals here.
Write
into the show, fellow Canadians, if I'm wrong, I just haven't heard this. But I'm no stranger to the Golden Arches, and let me let you explain.
Yeah, there's the Travis Scott burger in 2020. And it was crazy.
Did it like look like him or something? Like what?
No, it's just like a meal, what they would order, and then they packaged it. Like I think his was like a
quarter. What if he just orders like a, like he's
yeah,
like,
I know, you could
just a new name for like a fucking Big Mac and a Diet Coke.
Yeah, it's like what they order at McDonald's specifically. So he had like a quarter pounder with like a Sprite and a large fry. Literally nothing was different. It was just branded as a Travis Scott burger.
Man,
and then they had the BTS one. They had a BTS meal, but that actually had a special sauce.
You know what? That may have made it.
You had the BTS meal over there, which was a chicken nugget and a burger and like a drink or something. No fries.
I think. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Man, yeah. How does that
I fall
not
for those all the time.
what's the most recent celebrity fast food meal you've been fooled into eating?
Not yet. I'm literally right after this. I'm gonna go to my local McDonald's. I'm gonna get the Cardi B meal.
What's in a Cardi B?
I have no idea, but I'm just gonna go. Like, guys, I need the Cardi B meal right now. Also, I have
seven Sprites and a small Oreo McFlurry.
Probably. I mean, what would your celebrity McDonald's meal?
Oh my God. I can't. I think just by putting this out loud, we're putting that energy out there. I think McDonald's is going to be in touch.
I want an overset text deal with McDonald's. Okay. Overset text meal. All right, I want it.
Like, what's like,
these are the questions people are
like, because like, you know, if I'm just giving carte blanche, I'll be like, yeah, it's like an $80 meal. There's like two dozen nuggets, a Big Mac. I think mine would end up being like kind of boring too. Like, I think I would do like a Big Mac meal with like a medium fry, a Coke, and like a large Oreo McFlurry.
Okay, that's pretty good. I'd buy, that's a boring friends McDonald's order.
That's the boring friends 2 a.m. Bad choices meal. That's the overnight heartburn special for me.
Oh no, mine is even crazier, because I developed, okay, when I was doing the 365-2 for the overset text heads over there, you knew my t-shirt project that I did every day.
Is that what they're the text heads?
The overset text heads. The people who are like deep, who know the lore, who are the people who are real heads of
my account. I was always calling them overtexters.
Overtext. No, this is specifically for my fans. But I was so burnt out during that time, and I didn't really have time to make food. So I would go to McDonald's, and I had the app all the time. So I had the McDonald's app. I was getting all the points. I was getting the free burgers, the deals. Yeah, but here's the thing. Quarter pounder. I'd buy a quarter pounder, and then I would get a chicken sandwich separately.
Okay.
And then I would combine those two, chicken sandwich, quarter pounder, one burger.
Yep.
And then
all of the bread?
No. I pick one burger as bread. Okay. So maybe, I mean, the chicken sandwich has the pretzel bun, so usually I keep that one.
Okay. But what happens to the other bread?
I just throw it away. That's too much carbs. Sorry. It's too bad. I'd feed it to my dog.
This guy on his high horse about the paper straws and you know, global warming. But this guy just throws out the bread.
I don't need the bread. The bread's too much carbs. It's already too much. And then it's a large fry with Coke Zero, because I care about my health.
Of course. Yeah.
And then, that's the order I would have at McDonald's. See, these are the questions that everyone's been wondering. Like, what would we order at McDonald's? Yeah.
This is why people tuned into our creativity, design, and art podcast to find out how many French fries can these fucking assholes eat in one sitting. And it's
That's how I'm living in squalor. I have to eat McDonald's every day. That's my new 365 project. I eat McDonald's every day.
Isn't that like the entire plot of the movie Supersize Me?
Yeah. Okay. But that guy's an idiot. I hate that. I hate that documentary. Like, yeah, of course you're going to have health problems after you eat that for every day for a month. Although I just saw a YouTube video with somebody eating Taco Bell every day, and he actually got healthier. So,
okay, man, that's a great campaign for Taco Bell.
Yeah. But I was like,
isn't that Taco Bell in a minute? I don't mind Taco Bell at all.
Yeah. I mean,
what's bottom rank fast food for you? Bottom
Arby's,
of the list.
Arby's.
Yeah. I've had Arby's one time in my life, and it was fucking gross.
I don't like, I'm never thinking Arby's.
Unless they get in touch with us about a sponsorship. if they reach out and they want to give us a little bit of that cash,
I'm down.
Then I've always loved Arby's personally, those curly fries.
I'm ready to sell out, guys. I'm selling out at the moment's notice. Like, I don't care.
100%. But yeah,
if there's big money involved, I'm selling out.
Arby's is terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. So, I'm pretty sure every graphic designer has their go-to meal, because you just be not eating healthy. I know I'm not. Yeah. I didn't eat healthy at all. So, I don't sit properly. I shrimp like...
Oh, nice.
I'm shrimping.
Like, yeah, how are those shoulders? How do they feel?
It's not good. Like, I'm like hunched over.
Yeah, I'm good with posture.
you know, the moment where you're in a design, you like hunch over and you're like,
oh yeah,
I'm
yeah.
in, I'm in. That's how you know you're
hyper focused.
Oh yeah, hyper.
But you're also like, you're too busy. Like you're kind of just in the zone, right? Like you really, you've got that when you've got the art flowing. Oh.
That's like,
you know what? Do whatever you want to my muscles. Give me whatever long term back problems it's going to cause me because I am on a roll.
I'm glad I haven't had like carpal tunnel or whatever, like wrists. Like,
yeah, problem. I don't know. Like, from just a lifetime of being like on the computer nonstop, I don't know how I don't have more problems related to that stuff.
Exactly. Because I know some of my, you know, design fans have to wear like braces or whatever.
Really?
Like, I was like, oh,
that's
like,
humiliating.
yeah, I'm you sorry. Need to quit. You need to quit now. How are you joking? How could you do that?
That sounds like I'm allowed to joke about it because I know I'm like 1 year out from also.
No, I'm like, club. I'm like, I'm paranoid. Like, is my back? Like, should I be buying like an expensive chair? Like, should I get the Herman Miller chair?
I've had the same like IKEA rolling chair for I think like 10 years now.
Dude, my chair is like falling apart because I game in this too, and like the things on the, you know, the armrests are.
You have armrests destroyed. On your chair, man.
Oh yeah, sorry, I'm living you know like a king over here.
I mean, I told everyone earlier about this golden throne.
The throne, like solid.
This rolling golden throne that you play video games in.
Yeah, honestly, that's like okay. Real talk. At one point, whenever I'm like really busy, I was like playing games and working from the same computer, like being at work and play. Like, this is like one of the things that I had to adjust as a freelancer, is that working and playing on the same computer will drive you insane. I've been driven to insanity staying in a room, this same room, for like the whole day.
I mean, the room not good for you. That you see me in right now, and that like anyone would see me in, like
your TikTok,
in anything where that I post on TikTok or wherever. Like, I've been sitting in this room ever since I like quit my last job every day.
Yeah.
And I try to break it up. But I certainly wasn't breaking it up at all during like COVID or whatever.
Oh yeah.
So it was always this room. There are other rooms in this house, but this is easily like, it's very comfortable. It's like my office slash, you know, I also play games in here. I also watch like TV in here, whatever. So like, it's kind of just the room.
Yeah, it's the room, but
and you know, it's comfy and it's great, but yeah, it makes you a little nuts.
Loopy,
but
yeah.
Yeah, like how do you, we might accidentally end up starting talking about some, you know, freelance and job and art stuff any second now, which is crazy. We're only 42 minutes into this and people are just, they're waiting. They're like,
when are you guys talking about anything that matters?
Yeah, give us the history of art. Yeah, like how do you, like do you thrive as someone who works from home and works remotely and kind of just does your own thing in your gaming and work den? Or would you maybe feel better if you like had, you know, say an office to go to or like a separate studio or what? Like what would be your ideal situation for
my
like,
ideal situation
being happy?
Working. I would love to be not in my parents' house.
Yeah.
No, good. But that would probably be the first one. But I've gotten better at it when like with my brain, like it's just a very chaotic. I'm very lazy. I don't like moving. Like I don't want to go to Starbucks and work. I tried doing that, but it's just like I don't want to drive because where in my area I have to drive to get to a Starbucks.
That's what I picture like for all of California is like, you can't just like walk to a place.
No, California is notoriously car centric. Unless you live in San Francisco, even in LA, you can't do that. You have to drive unless you're
in a I mean, I went to LA for the first time this last fall.
How did you like it?
I like it. Like I like the vibe there in general. Like, I mean, I live in a frozen hellscape at the moment, so picturing a place that's like sunny and warm seems wonderful right now. But in terms of like city layout,
it's terrible.
In terms of just like setup and just like how to run a place, it just is crumbling. Chaos, and it like does not work for me at all. Like I'm much more of like a everything's sort of compact, close by. Yeah, everything's like a close walk away, yeah. Like your, you know, your grocery store and your coffee shop and your bar and your friend's house and whatever. Like, you know,
Americans hate that shit.
Well, are you like, have you followed all this like conspiracy theory shit too with people now about like the 15 minute cities?
Yes. I'm like,
people could just be fooled into hating anything now.
Americans are like, oh, they want you to not leave your home. Like,
well, they want you to have within a 15 minute walk, they want there to be a grocery store.
Yeah, the coffee shop
and the school and also the hospital and a park and all your friends and all your neighbors and everything you need. They want that to be in a 15 minute walk. And you're like, that sounds awesome. That sounds perfect.
The alternate is like, I love driving 30 minutes to get anywhere to my friend's house or a restaurant. I'm like,
well,
I
that's freedom.
That's freedom. Freedom is being in my car. Although as much as I hate cars, I love taking the metro, the NYC subway. When I was in Brazil, the subways there work really great. Japan, you know, everything. But I did take the LA metro. That thing stinks, like literally stinks.
Yeah,
nobody takes care of it
while I was there. But I think it's also like, again, it's because it's not a thing that's prioritized. Yeah,
it works.
It's not a thing that they don't give the money to because they're like the understanding is you're just gonna sit in the car.
Yeah, it works. Like the metro works, but like nobody takes, like the city doesn't care about it. I'm like, it's basically crumbling.
Yeah.
But yeah, all that. I was gonna say, like, I hate cars, but I do enjoy just singing and like, you know, jamming out of my car. I love that. But
you don't get to Starbucks to do your work.
No, I would. But then there is something cool and personal about a car, but I would give that up for everybody closer to me. Like, I don't need that much.
Yeah. I mean, some people get on public transportation and they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they do that anyways.
They do not care.
Yeah, my car's falling apart anyways. So it's like, I don't know. So it's like,
but all that to say, you're not a coffee shop guy.
I want to be. I don't like I don't like other people being there. It's because like I have to be like in a certain amount of zone. Like sometimes, do you ever, like usually when I get into my zone, I listen to the same music, same song, not even music, same song.
Same song on repeat?
On repeat. And then I would like scream or like dance around when I.
Can you walk us through, set the scene for us? Like tell us like what song is on repeat and like what is it helping you create?
It depends. It changes every few weeks. And honestly, it's kind of like fucked up because I can only work now when I have a song stuck in my head. Okay. Like, I would play that on my Spotify. And then like, it really fucks up my Spotify Wrapped.
because we don't have anything else on record that you listen to this year. Do you listen to the song to put yourself into that zone
or you recognize that
you're in the zone and you're like, oh, now I can turn it on? Like which one
it
comes
feels
first?
Like when I start working and I, because I'm already addicted to the song, right? Okay. I already listened to it. So I put that on while I'm working and it just kind of like numbs my brain. Like it soothes my brain, so it focuses on the work. I don't know if anyone else has this, but this is a very weird quirk of mine where I just have to listen to the same song and it kind of like numbs my brain and I could actually get into the zone.
I find that so interesting. Like I don't feel like I've ever spoken to anyone who has like mentioned anything like that. I mean, it's not that different from like, you know, I have albums or types of music or whatever where I'm like, it's like a certain type of energy that is probably more conducive to me, like hitting more of like a flow state.
Yeah.
But to have one song on repeat, like ballpark, how many times in a row would you listen to this song while you're working on something?
Like 300 times. It's just on loop. It's just on loop.
Crazy.
It really depends on like depends on how long I was working. So like if it was 3 hours, I don't know, like there's like one song.
I would feel fucking psychotic by the end of that. Nothing would make sense.
Well, that's
I'm just picturing you're listening to like 1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies on loop.
That has happened. That has happened. That has happened. Like, I'm pretty sure like one of the songs probably like Southern Nights by Glenn Campbell.
I mean, like
at one point it was that
like great song.
Yeah.
Objectively great listen, but I think by my fourth Southern Night, I would want to Southern die.
Die. No, I mean, at that point, it kind of doesn't even sound like a song. It's just like noise. It's just
totally. I mean, yeah, it would like, you know, when you like say the same word over and over and it just turns into like absolute gibberish. Like what happens to a song when you've heard it 300 times? Like you're just hearing like a in your
ears. I mean, it just, that's just how my insanity brain works. And I don't know if anyone else does this, but I would love to hear from everybody else.
Oh
who
my
does
God.
This.
I would love to hear if other people do this shit, because
I think there is
never, there's no way you're alone. But
no, there's no
I
way.
I can say that like I've
you don't
never
do that?
I don't do that.
How do you get into the zone? What happened? What's your flow state like?
Like, how do I get that? Like, I think similar to a lot of like artists or you know, I mean, not even just artists, like anyone who does the type of work where they perform better when they're like super focused and like in the zone or in the flow state, it can feel very elusive, right? Like it's not something that you, it's not a switch you can just flip on and flip off. You kind of have to like summon it a little bit, and some days it's there and some days it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. I think the most direct way for me is honestly to just like sit down and start doing stuff, right? Like if you know, obviously it depends on the type of project that I'm working on or the type of art that I want to make, or like it depends on what I want to output, but essentially just to sit down and start putting like pencil to paper, either just like straight up just like writing out ideas and like word association stuff on the page, or just start like sketching certain things that I think might be associated with it. You know, even for me, if my only goal is like, okay, I just want to like make art, I just want to make something, and I don't have any idea where I'm starting or what I want it to be about or whatever, I'll literally just like set like a timer for myself and be like, okay, if I draw for like 20 minutes straight and I still don't have anything, then I'm like, I mentally can like let myself off the hook. You know what I mean? Like, so I'll sit down and I'll draw for like 20 minutes. And if the timer goes off, then I'm like, I put my time in. I did my reps today or whatever.
I like that.
It didn't turn into anything, but I know that I did it, and I can like feel satisfied enough about that. Which works like this also, I should say, works great if you just want to like make some art because you like to, not like a perfect strategy if you have like a looming deadline, you have to push a little bit further. But the kind of cool thing is like, I would say more often than not, probably something like 75% of the time, the timer goes off for me and I'm like, yeah, shut up. And then I like go back to doing the work because I've latched onto something where I'm like, oh, there's something there. Oh, that's interesting. Like I didn't think like I could combine this thing. And now like all the sort of like little connections are starting to be made. And like the flow state is kind of like beginning to present itself. And then like once I actually hit that state, like for me, it's like when I have both like an interesting idea and a good direction for like how I want to execute it, I am like completely lost in that universe until that thing is like completed. Like I will not get out of this chair until it's like done. And like that's great in some ways because it means like I'll put something out, I'll have something done, I'll be like happy with it. It's bad for like like nutrition or like stretching or keeping the blood flowing to like the rest of your body. So it's not great for that. And it's also like some things would just be better if I like spent a week on them instead of just like 8 straight hours. You know what I mean? Like if I did like 8 separate little sessions and I could see it with like fresher eyes every single time, there are going to be benefits to doing it that way. But I think I'm just like, I get so hyper focused on it and I'm so impulsive about it. And then I get like, I think I'll feel like it's done. And then the idea of having to like undo 600 steps to get to the middle of it again, to like build a different thing out, can feel so intimidating that I just like won't do it. Or I'm also just like so anxious to just like put it out there in the world, because I like had this idea and then I created it and it's finished. And I demand attention and congratulations for all the great work that I've done. So it can be tough to, you know, convince yourself to, you know, try version two of that specific thing. It's different again, like if you're doing like client stuff or whatever and you like really want to make something good, or if it's like a product or like a thing that you really want it to be like polished and you want it to be like perfect. That's when I'll like, you know, it'll be something that I work on for an extended period of time. But like if it's just some sort of like, you know, I made art, I made a thing, whatever. It's usually just a matter of like, I will sit down and do it all at once.
I think that's like one of the things that people need to understand, or I think a lot of people get, they don't like the answer of like, you just need to sit down and do it. Cause like they have the mindset of like, well, once inspiration strikes, then I'll start working. But I'm like, no, you cannot wait for that.
And I can't blame them, because that is like, it's a very common misconception, right? Like, I think a lot of people, especially if they're newer to it, have this understanding that like, you have to wait for the idea to strike you, and then you like capture that moment right then, and then you sit down and like really start doing it. But like the thing is, you don't really get to summon those moments until you sit down at the desk.
It's the reverse. Like sometimes the inspiration comes to you when you start working. You just need to like, I don't know, sit down and start doing something. Because like usually sometimes I sit down and then like I play around Photoshop. I'm like, this isn't really working. And I'm like, I'm just going to walk away for a bit. And then next day I go back to the file. I'm like, all right, now I'm ready to summon it.
Totally. And it's different for some people too.
Yeah.
And I get that, but it's like, at least for me personally, oh my God. It's really, I got to really clear my throat, cause this is a big one I'm giving here.
Okay.
I think for me personally, it's like, I don't have that many moments where I'm just like, you know, out for a walk, or like I'm cooking dinner, or I'm doing some other task, and then an idea just like arrives in my head. Like that. Yes. If I'm doing those things and I'm making sure my brain is like kind of open to receiving bits of inspiration, and I'm like in the background kind of like making those connections, that's a great like habit to be in, and one that like I actively try to practice on my own. But end of the day, it's rare that something just pops into my brain and then I'm like, oh my God, that's inspiration. And now I have to go do the thing. Like 99.9% of the time I got an idea because I sat down and I'm like, okay, what do I want to make? And like, where does it make sense to start looking for ideas for this stuff? Like, how can I start just sort of like throwing every idea at the wall and then seeing what sticks? Like I'll just like open up a book of art, or I'll go on the internet, or I'll literally just like open up like a book and flip to a random page and pick like 9 words out of it and just see if that makes anything interesting and gets me thinking about certain stuff. But yeah, end of the day, it really is all about actually sitting down to do the work day after day. And then that's kind of it.
Gotta do the work, y'all.
Yeah, like do you ever read like The War of Art?
By Sun Tzu? No, I've never read it.
No, that's The Art of War.
The War of Art. Oh wait.
War of Art.
Oh wait. No, I've not read that one. Is that the sequel? That's,
yeah, it's great. Sequel's way better. No, this is it's by a guy named Stephen Pressfield. And this is actually I gave this book out as a prize during my like make shitty art challenge a couple months ago as like one of the prizes, because this was a book for me where it really hammered home the idea of like, you know, don't be like precious about it. You don't have to be someone who just says that, you know, I'm waiting for my great inspiration, or I'm waiting for like stop putting it off. Literally just like show up every day. Like this art thing is an important job to you, and just sit down and do the work. And that's like essentially what the whole book is about. It's just like every page or every chapter is like a page or two long. It's about some similar subject, about like really just like sitting down to do the work and like overcoming all the sort of like mental forces of resistance in your brain that are conspiring against you being able to achieve all the you know, interesting and fulfilling dreams that are in your head. Anyways, really good read.
I should read that. That sounds good. I mean, I believe that you have to like
100%. It's like, it's a huge one. Are there books that you have read on your journey that have helped you along?
I mean, there's always that by Austin Kleon.
His whole series.
Or
so he's got three of them, right?
Is there three? I've only read the first one. But
yeah, he's got like two other ones. Yeah,
I didn't read that one.
They're great though.
Yeah, I mean, I love reading books. Usually, I don't really read books on like design that often, but I just read a lot of philosophy and like.
Yeah,
I don't know. A bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I feel like when I really read about design, I don't really read that much about design specifically, but a lot more about, you know, sort of the philosophy behind making art or why to make art or whatever. Like, have you read like Rick Rubin's newest book?
No, feel like I've been really you got it.
Yeah.
Or how far are you into it?
I think I have not even 20 pages left. I'm like done. I have like 15 pages left, but I've been doing it because it's a similar thing where it's just like really quick chapters, and they're just like a really brief little, you know, pump your tires about making art. And so I've just been like, I'll like start my day just by just like reading a couple chapters in it, taking something from it. I've literally just been like, usually with like nonfiction stuff, I'll get the digital versions so that I can like open it on my iPad and I just like highlight everything, and then see everything at once, which is great. But I have the paper one for this.
I hate reading digital books. Not a fan.
Yeah. And like, I don't typically like them that way, but for nonfiction, I just find it helpful to come back. But for the Rick Rubin one, I was like, no, it's just like a really nice looking book to begin with.
It is nice.
B, I just wanted to have the actual thing, but I've just been going through and like, I'm literally like by hand underlining like 2/3 of this book. So I've just like beaten the shit out of this thing now.
Yeah. I actually have a lot of books that I bought about design. When I went to New York, they were on sale at Poster House. So I was like,
okay,
I really want to get into more like theory of design. I mean, I think theory and like actually doing art is like two different things. Like they shouldn't be, but I want to learn more about that. And also I want to learn more about like how design interacts with capitalism and our role as designers in it. I'm not really that I mean, like, I know I've read, you know, political theory, but I want to be specifically more
capitalist
into. Yeah, I'm trying to be more capitalist. Now I'm trying to look more into like, I don't know, like, because there's this weird thing where a lot of design has rules, and I thought about like, why do we have these rules? And most of these rules was created
the fucking capitalists.
Yeah, to sell graphic design was created to sell stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's
the logo has to be this size and has to contain,
because to maximize, to maximize attention from viewers so they can go buy Coca-Cola.
Yeah, like more of an emphasis on like the functionality of a piece rather than the expression of it.
And I think a lot of designers is like, what is the purpose? I mean, we all know the purpose of most of this is to sell you something. So it's like, why do we need to even, I don't know, but I want to read more on that. But that's like, I don't want to get into that because I feel we did an hour, but maybe next episode, once I'm more educated and I've actually read the theory, but
yeah, we can do your book report on like the next book that you read about it. We'll do a show and tell.
Show and tell. Because
we can have we'll have like book report episodes where
I want to start a book club, honestly.
I mean,
but
We can do whatever we want with this stuff, there. Right? Like we can. I don't know.
If you've listened to this hour and you liked it, please like. Please give us a 5-star.
We don't even know yet how to tell people.
Yeah, I don't even know what the name of this, but make sure to rate it.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but specifically on Apple Podcasts, rate it 5-star. Leave a review that will give us motivation to do this if you enjoyed it.
I don't know what I was going to say.
It really does help though, like liking or giving us 5-star and reviewing the podcast. It will very help a lot. But yeah, I think this is the end of the first episode, I think. This is pretty fun. Hope you guys learned something. We'll be back whenever with a guest.
We'll be back every week for
season one of whatever this is.
We'll see what happens and we'll see how off
maybe
the
that's the name of the podcast. Goes. Whatever this is.
Whatever this is, we'll see what happens.
But
TBD, sorry about everything, the podcast.
Yeah, we don't even know the name of it, but once this is edited, we will be naming it for real. But yeah, Ben, this is fun. Like I had a blast just talking.
This is awesome. This is nice. I mean, even a couple weeks ago when we we booked like 20 minutes to like sit down and be like, yeah, well, let's talk about this podcast thing and see what's there. And then we talked for like 2.5 hours or something.
Yeah. So we could honestly keep going, but
we could keep going.
We'll save some of that for the.
Oh man. Yeah. Cause we got some bangers, juicy nugs for the next one.
We're going to reel in some other folks into this bullshit. So.
Oh yeah. We got the big ones. Like, cause I mean,
Are we
allowed to talk about, like, legally, can we tell them about the Barack Obama episode?
Oh, yeah. Barack is coming on.
Yeah.
He's coming on. Barack and Joe Biden are the president.
Yep. Yeah.
But that's it.
That's season it. One. That's all we had the budget for.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, we spent it all on that. But, yeah, I guess that's it for episode one. Thanks for listening.
Thanks everyone for coming by. Hope you got something out of it. Make sure, like Ram said, like give us a rating. You guys know how to find us on the World Wide Web. So shoot us a message on social media or send us an email or whatever it is that you want. And let us know. I don't know. Let us know how you feel. How's your day?
What do you think about it? Yeah, have a nice rest of day or night, wherever you're listening to this.
Yeah, everybody have a good one.
All right, bye.
Bye.